The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, the cyber security version. And I have my esteemed cyber expert, Mr. A.I. Nguyen, on the show again today. Nguyen, how are you?
Good morning. Well, good to be back. It's been 2 weeks, I know.
Yeah, I believe it has. I lose track. So busy these days, but... Anyway, I want to remind those that are listening that sometimes we talk about things that you think, man, I need to go try that. I would advise some extreme care and caution if you're doing something on your, let's say, your main everyday go-to computing device, whether that's your cell phone or your tablet or your desktop or notebook. It's a helpless feeling being locked out of something that you need every day. And when I'm sure you've seen that many times,
yeah,
or heard it on a phone call.
Oh, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And people, we need to be careful what we click on, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I agree. Be skeptical. Be skeptical.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, what does it really cost you to not open that email that's not from somebody you know and trust, or moreover, that you're expecting an email under whatever circumstances you find yourself in? And I know I get a lot of emails in during the day when I'm busy, and, you know, I have to think double hard on occasion when I see something that involves some topic that I'm working with or working on, and, or, you know, maybe it's a bill that they're suggesting I need to pay. It's crazy. It's
so,
every day.
You know, usually you get an email that very generic, like it's not focused on what you do for a living. But today with AI and automated, so it basically learned your pattern, how you click on your email, somehow like, it's very sophisticated the way that they're doing it. Let's just say if you are a financial institution, are you a financial, your CPA, for example. So obviously you don't look at financial stuff. You look at other people, customers, and financial statement. So they focus on the email tailored to your thing. You know,
yeah.
Like, have you ever received an email that, a phishing email that seemed to know your life story? Well, I have. All the time, so it seemed to know.
Is that right?
Yeah, it seemed to know because.
I'm not as famous as you. So
I am
the
not.
Reason I.
I'm not even real. I'm not even. You talk to an AI right now. I'm not even real. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's crazy. I'm almost impressed by some of the due diligence the hackers have gone to these days. I say they. You're right. It's more AI.
They don't have
than
to.
Anything.
It's all computer.
Yeah.
They don't have
yeah.
to. See, that's the thing. This is like
true.
Large language models. So back then, you know, if you turn back the clock like 10 years ago, if I'm a hacker, I have to draft an email. Then I have to sit there and see how do I draft an email to attack this person or whole industry. Right.
Yeah.
And then
or
that's the first
culture.
Step. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
how do I Americanize
step.
It?
Exactly.
You know, in our case.
And then the technology side of it. How do I infect all the machine? I sit there and I draft it. Today is one click of a button. It does everything for you. You can even get like a ransomware file, a ransomware service that you can hire somebody to sell you the script. All you have to do, type in a certain thing, like boom, you're done. And it just go out randomly. Okay. That's how powerful it is. So, you know, AIs are here to stay, and it's getting worse every day. So AI and security, you know, we always talk AI, and it's all related to security. And especially, I'm telling you, well, before we dive in, there's a couple of topics maybe you should start. So last week, ransomware and cybercrime increased significantly. I would say like 100-fold. Huh. So there's a lot of companies getting infected, but they don't want to report it and then to the public, right? Yeah. But there's a new 60 new ransomware just came out. 60, I mean the major one. They're more than that, okay?
What call, say the name again?
There are like over 60 new ransomware.
60. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. And usually it's affect like we worry about if we like Microsoft PC and you say, hey, you know what? If you have Linux, you don't have to worry about it. Oh, guess what? You better be worried about it too. And and I can tell you real quick what happened. You heard of Salesforce, right?
Right. Sure.
Everyone heard of Salesforce. They get hacked.
Yeah.
And now the fallout is a lot of companies like Palo Alto, which is one of the top firewall company in the world. And they got, because of Salesforce, somehow is affecting them as well. They got hacked as well.
Yeah, well, that's just another reason not to use Salesforce.com. If you hadn't already tried to use it and understand that it's made for big companies, mm-hmm. let's just say the GEs of the world, will benefit from a product that is administrative overhead laden.
Well, the point is
Salesforce.
The point is the people that the security company that Salesforce use, like Zscaler, one of the top company like proxy firewalls, okay, and a firewall like Palo Alto, that's number top thing. They've been targeted and they've been hacked. So think about it. If the expert are being targeted like this, what hope is it the rest
right.
of us? You see, that's what I'm trying to say. So every day I encounter like people call and said, you know, phishing email looks so realistic. And I tell people this, okay? My goal is to build a community of human firewalls. What does that mean? Be skeptical. Every email you come in, you need to be careful. But instead of going to, if they send you an email and say you need to change your passwords or something like that from your bank, don't do it in the same email. You go to your bank directly. Another browser, whatever. Go, but don't use the same, because they make it convenient for you. Just the word is convenient. Convenient is the problem. And
yeah, or how about calling your bank's tech support and asking if that was a legitimate, or is there a current request for me to change my password?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done that a few times, not lately, but I never, you know, failed to get an answer, and mm-hmm. there were a couple of answers that they said, you know, we looked at your information, your account information, we don't see such a request, but don't do it, and we'll follow up with you if we figure out that we missed something, you know.
You know, like the industry we talked about a few weeks ago that really affect the most right now, because banking and institutions and other like a major website, they force user to use multi-factor authentication. What I meant is that using your phone to get the code is a secondary communication, secondary password. Okay, you enter your password, they send you the code, and it hit the one sector that hit the most is the elder. They have no clue. First, they had to remember their password. Now they have to worry about the code on their phone, and a lot of them don't use cell phone anymore. When you get a certain age, you don't use it anymore.
Well. I'll tell you another layer, and this is, it's a bank. It happened to be a credit card issued by this bank that I was getting ready to use it, but I just wanted to make sure I had enough credit limit available. And so I attempted, and this is the only credit card I have, by the way, that does this, and it drives me nuts, is that they not only, you know, require you to put the right password in, then you get the OTP,
mm-hmm.
and this is once they've confirmed both of the above, then they ask you to scan your driver's license or your primary form of ID. That just to find out, hey, I just want to know. So all I ended up doing was, you know, put the app away, use my phone to make a call to their 800 number, and they'll tell you almost anything on the phone. Well, now, they're going to do their authentication as well, but they don't require you to have your driver's license handy, which, you know, that's the problem. And if you're standing in a checkout lane at a store, and then you've got to mess with getting your license aligned so that your camera on your phone can see it, I think that's just excessive. And I do appreciate them, you know, wanting to make sure they're not protecting me when they're protecting them.
Exactly.
At that stage, it's solely about them. It's not me, because the first two were more than adequate to, you know, afford my protection.
We have the major trend that I see past week is called business email compromise, BEC, right?
Okay.
And what happened, if you're using Microsoft, for example, if you click on the link, they know who they are attacking, like financial, legal, industry, another company, anything with, I'm pretty sure you use DocuSign every day, right? People use every day, right?
I that or Adobe or
so,
a couple others.
So they send you the link and you click on it, say link to, if you want to view the document, then you click on the link and the first thing is you use your Microsoft Office to authenticate. That's when you have a problem. The moment you use that,
they
just capture your username and password.
I'm gonna give you my same Salesforce pitch. Yeah. That's another reason not to use Microsoft Office. You use the Google Workspace.
Well,
apps.
They the one too, because you have to authenticate.
They'll all be affected. Yeah, they'll all be affected. But let's go back to what Jesse James, the in the Wild Wild West, the bank robber, said when asked, why do you rob banks? And his answer was, well, that's where the money is. Well, the big companies are where the money is in the hacking world. It's where the low-hanging
fruit
is.
So simple question, right? Why you rob the bank? More money is.
Right, right. And so, I don't know. I know, like in the Salesforce case, it's probably not easy. What I would suggest is you try to find a firm that meets your needs, and there's a ton of CRM software out there. And I did try Salesforce. I signed up for it at one point and tried to use it. The problem is it's not a small company application. It takes too many people to keep it updated and make the information valuable. And if you're a 4, 5, 6-person company, you will never get over the curve of administrative maintenance. Whereas if you're, again, I use GE as an example, and I don't know how many employees GE has. I'm sure it's at least 500,000, maybe more than 1 million. When someone spends 30 minutes to put in a call report, you know, into Salesforce, look at all the people that get to benefit from that data collection. And so all of a sudden, your cost of acquisition on that data goes from very high to very low. And those are the types of environments that a Salesforce type product will use. But even then, you still see a lot of complaints about what it takes to keep and it's not just that, it's SAP and the accounting or the ERP arena, and it's notable other big firm applications. And I think, you know, there's a lot out there in the less than pristine, if you will, software application market that's high value. And usually it's at a lower cost, if not monetarily, upkeep-wise and admin-wise. But
you know,
anyway,
an aside. So back to the Salesforce. So the fallout is it's affecting company, the security company, like Proofpoint, Email Security, SpyCloud, Tanium, Tenable. The people that you hire to protect you, now they're affected too, because the third-party cloud. See, everybody, the cloud, it's a misconception. The cloud is not your computer, someone else's computer. Even you're secure, but if you live, when I used to do it, cloud is like an apartment, right? Like you live in an apartment and you say, you know what, I'm worried about my unit and I have file, I have lock, I have the key, I have camera. But guess what? What about your other tenant that live around you? They don't care, okay?
Yeah.
It's just like a crack in the wall. Eventually, the whole thing collapsed, including you.
It's like smoke It's like smoke detectors.
Exactly.
It's just going to tell you your building's on fire. I mean, it doesn't
Over time, the people who live with you don't care about security. If you have a crack, right, eventually that crack become bigger and bigger and the whole thing collapse, right? You cannot stop it. And you live in the same apartment. It's going to affect you. So I always use that analogy, that apartment and you live in there, right? So that's why a lot of companies right now, they enforce a third-party security. That means they call third-party management. They want to know who they're working with, who they're dealing with. If you're not secure, if you don't sign you don't sign like a certain document agreement, they don't do business with you. That's what it's
about. Well, and you point out a good issue. I remember it seems like I read once about an AWS, Amazon Web Service vulnerability, and this is something I hadn't really thought about. But let's assume, in this case, it was some sort of digital marketing company that was using AWS, and it did not password protect its Amazon S3 bucket, I believe is the term they kept using. I don't know if that was generic or if that's an Amazon term. But anyway, this marketing company went out of business, failed to password that data, and that exposed 300,000+ people in terms of their email address, phone numbers, and hashed out passwords that, you know, theoretically could be used to gain access. Mm-hmm. And you just think about that's not anything that I guarantee you, those 306,000 people probably had no idea that their data was exposed by another party, like you know, in this situation.
Well, there's
and a that's a good point.
Yeah, there's a service that go out there, like your name probably on the darknet. My email, my name's on the darknet. I know. I'm telling you, everybody.
Sure. I would think anybody that uses a computer more than your great grandparents, if them, because you know most of them probably aren't still living, but point is, you'd have to be a really rare user to not have some sort of exposure to.
The next topic, Nate, I want to talk about the elephant, the elephant in the room, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is the major thing. You know what October 14 is? Next month.
You mean? Oh yeah, it is next. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, it's the day before our final tax filing deadline, but that's not it.
Yeah. I'm glad you remind me that too. Okay. But anyway, Windows 10. If you have Windows 10, that's the day that Microsoft
11's coming out.
Or? No, Microsoft will end the support for Windows 10.
Is that right? Because I thought 11. What's the current flavor?
11.
Is it 11?
11.
So they're that quickly. Man, that's crazy.
Well, here's the problem. So usually, like 10 years ago, if they don't support Windows 10, that doesn't matter. If you have a hardware, you buy an upgrade.
Windows 95 stayed around forever. Over here, still everywhere.
I still have the disk. Windows 95, I still have the disk.
Because it worked.
It worked, but
you remember the version after 95, or maybe it was right before. What the name of it was?
Windows XP.
No, not that one.
XP is after 95.
That was decent. Okay,
no.
Well, Vista.
Windows 3.0.
Vista is the one I'm heading to here. Vista was a joke.
Vista,
and they got sued. You know, huge class action, and the lawyers, of course, are the ones that made out like a bandit. Individual users just got free copies of XP or 95.
Well,
XP is actually the one that was pretty solid.
Yeah.
So
the Vista, because it had the stacker, which is the compression, and they violated what's it called, copyright from another company they're doing business with.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They were the first stacker compression technology.
The lawyers in discovery got copies of emails from within Microsoft to other Microsoft engineers talking about what a dog this version was. They were crazy to be putting it out to the public, putting it on machines. And, I mean, you know, how are you going to defend against that if you're Microsoft, you know?
So here's the problem. Here's the thing I'm trying to getting at, okay? So back then, 10 years ago, I always use a 10 years ago. So if you have a hardware and if they don't no longer support Windows 10, no problem. And you just buy an upgrade to Windows 11, right? Well, it's not the case anymore because the Windows 11 will not support the hardware that you have. Think about this. Today with the processor and other component, you don't just compatibility. Microsoft like AI with AI involved. If you don't have the right processor, the right system, the right BIOS, it won't work. So what I'm trying to getting at here, you know how many people own Windows 10 around the world?
I have not a clue, but it's got to be a huge number.
So now think about this. If they stop supported, what happened? You don't have patches, right? And in hardware, you cannot upgrade. So right now, a lot of companies, like small companies, don't even know. Well, large companies, they prepare already. But by the way, Microsoft offer an option that you can buy the continuation support. See, that's another way they make money, right? So you can buy an extra. However, a lot of company people out there like yourself, small company, don't know about this option, don't know about the they're going to stop, you know, supporting it. What happened? Man, if you got a new virus coming out, you can't stop it. What does that mean? So I think it's going to create a lot of potential business for small company, like a small IT company, to go out and support people. There are people out there that will help you support, you know, to upgrade.
But you're telling me, I mean, just to clarify, if I've got one Windows machine and I hadn't turned it on in I don't know how long, but let's assume I was worried about this, and let's assume it was Windows 10, you're saying, still going to be the one that goes away. You're telling me I can't take that machine into, like, you know, Geek Squad or somewhere, you know, out the public, Best Buy, and tell them, hey, I don't know what's on this machine. I don't care. I just need to have a machine that if I have to, for client reasons or whatever, run a Windows product, could be run. They couldn't blank that thing out and install a brand new fresh Windows 11 or whatever.
No, it won't work because there's an option in there. You know if your hardware is compatibility or not, okay? And when you try to upgrade it, it said the hardware won't support it. That's a problem.
Okay, so what's the generally, and I know it probably varies, generally, what era, what time, what year, what time frame are we talking about? Where, like, would anything purchased after 2020
depend
typically qualify? Like, if it was Dell or
well,
no,
see, even if you have the right processor, but if you don't have the basic input, think about this. You know, you own the Mac, and you know, right? Apple hardware has life expectation to use it 5 years. After five years. After that, it's done.
That's true.
Right? You cannot upgrade.
I mean, that's just a general rule. I mean, I'm using a – let's put the – and since you're talking Mac, this will make more sense. Look at when Apple started using their own silicone. Mm-hmm. You know, they started making their own chips. I've got a M1, which was the first flavor. Wasn't the first machine. I don't think it's the first machine released with the M1. It may have been. It was towards the front of the line. It's a MacBook 16-inch. I bought it in late 2021. And that machine still has significant, you know, life left, according to an article I read, because I was looking at, well, you know, I'd like to wait until the M6 releases. Right now, M5 is what's coming out. I think they'll announce some of them next week. If not, it'll be October's meeting. But, you know, I would love to put off buying, based on what I read, and of course, these are all rumors as to what's going to be included in with the M6 releases. But I think that's maybe 2 years at the most away, and I think I will still be able to run. Because this machine is pretty stout. I mean, it wasn't a low-end machine when it was sold. It was the top of the line. It's got 64 gig of RAM. That's a big factor in all this AI stuff.
But I'll bet you
it has
you cannot upgrade it to a new version of Apple. if you try to
upgrade. I don't know. I just upgraded it. No, I just upgraded it earlier this week.
The OS?
And it's not even the Mac OS.
Oh, Mac OS. Yeah, Mac OS. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the phones are more of an issue, although I don't know that 5 years is the limit. I just upgraded. I don't sell any of my iPhones. I either hang on to them or pass them to relatives.
I think all of this related to because of the AI and the way that Apple built
support. I will say I can't think of any, at least in the Apple world, and Windows is totally different. I don't profess to remember. But in the Apple world, the AI has been the most, and it's sad but for the reason I'm getting ready to give you, it's been the most significant push to get people onto new hardware, and yet Apple is lagging so far behind AI in terms of their own offering. Now they're partnered apparently with ChatGPT or what's the name of the company? Is it, it's not ChatAI. What's the name of
ChatGPT? OpenAI.
Well, the Perplexity. Name of the company that produces produces ChatGPT.
OpenAI.
Okay, OpenAI, right. Yeah. So now apparently Apple has partnered with them to provide
Google
AI
too.
Functionality on their phones. Well, yeah, I see that as well. But Google actually has some decent stuff within their own world.
They are using the back end, which is OpenAI. Google, Microsoft, Apple, they are using the back end, some kind of source code from the OpenAI.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, Wynn, we haven't done a break yet. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I'm joined once again today on the Cyber Sunday version of the Be a Planner show with Mr. A.I. Nguyen. And we have been talking about some of the latest issues and developments in the cybersecurity world. And Nguyen, let's go ahead and pick up. You were talking about an issue that
the Windows 10
Salesforce. Okay, and then we moved into the Microsoft.
Well, issue. Let me tell you why I bring this topic up, because it's going to have a major impact in the next several months, maybe from here to December. Why? Shopping, right? December's.
Yeah.
Christmas. So why is this important about the Windows 10 and you cannot upgrade? You know, guess the percentage that they find that are not compliant. Like the Windows 10,
35%. How many machines did you, or how many? We don't even know, because a lot of the licenses are probably not legit, right?
So Microsoft, based on the licensing that they had, it registered to them, Windows 10. 35% of the people out there are still using Windows 10. I'm give you a ballpark, 35%, okay? Now, here's the impact to the public. A lot of large company already get their hand on upgrade already. So I'm not worried about the large company. And they probably pay Microsoft extra for support, right? So that's not like companies like Exxon, that's how they do it, right?
Yeah.
They're huge. They have the money to do. I'm talking about a small company, an individual. I'm talking about individual have no clue. Home users still using a PC for seven years. The problem is the moment that you can no longer have the patch, well, guess what? All the browsers that they go to the banking, they don't have a clue. I'll pick one general population, the elder. They have no clue. You click on the virus, you no longer protect it. Now, even if you have the antivirus, but if you don't have the upgrade version, it won't support it, so the antivirus won't work either. Okay? And Christmas is coming soon, a lot of shopping, guess what? I think it's going to be a major crisis. You watch. Okay? If you think all the ransomware is bad, wait until you see the end of the year. It's going to be worse. This is what I'm more concerned. Speaking of which, I need to upgrade. I got two Windows 10 I need to upgrade. I'll probably buy a new one. Because it won't upgrade anymore. I tried to upgrade, one of them is a fast processor from HP, the expensive workstation. This is the workstation, a very fast processor, but I can't upgrade it, right? So I want to use it, and you look at it, gets help right away. If you hear this, go to Best Buy, go to, any computer store, upgrade your, buy a new one. But you cannot browse your old computer, go to the banking. I'm telling you, it's going to be a disaster, okay? So this is important. So that's one of the topics we're talking about. And another one is, AI. Now, I always talk about AI. So AI is still a major, create a lot of, dominate the tech trend today. Okay? And it's still affecting a lot of company. And, let me ask you something. You use AI, right? You probably use some kind of software, AI, right? Or some kind of service, right?
I mean, we use ChatGPT, but we also use an application specific to tax research.
Okay.
And so,
Do you worry about any security at all? Because here's the problem: a lot of people are using it right now, and they have no idea what is the security risk. You know that? A lot of companies implement some sort of AI, but they have no clue. Even the government itself don't know. Even the regulation have no clue.
Well, I mean, the only security the thing about AI that I find to be the most significant security risk is that it's wrong. And, you're putting information out to a client or to someone of import, and, people just assume. I don't know if you noticed, and I think I mentioned this on the air recently, the lawyer that got fined, I believe it was $75,000 or $79,000 by a judge because the judge said that this brief you submitted is pure rubbish, obviously AI generated. And I just wonder, it's hard for me to believe. I mean, common sense should take over at some point, wouldn't it, Wynn? I mean, do you, at least I'm assuming, you look at what comes back on an AI
I don't trust
100%.
Yeah, I don't trust.
I don't 100%. Trust it at all. I mean, at best, it's gonna maybe make me think of something that I forgot to include in the original prompt, and I can do a follow up. But I've seen multiple mistakes, and it's not every time. And so, you know, it's just there's enough value there to keep using it, and yet there's also enough harm, potentially more than enough harm, to say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. And, you know, collaterally, the AI that comes into play on a Google search, you know, the part at the top now, that gives me a lot of good pointers and what, you know, the answer should be, to where sometimes I avoid putting the question to ChatGPT or to our tax, Blue Jay is the service we use. And I don't know. I mean, it's a mixed bag, and it does worry me that we've developed autonomous cars now based on effectively AI, among other things, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Did you see the Waymo in Austin? I saw it.
No.
I went last week. A Waymo is a car that actually, like Tesla, it drives by itself.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. But, I mean, you're saying that just arrived?
No. I saw it in Austin, and I was amazed. Okay. It looked like a Google car back then with camera. So this thing have a LiDAR, and we're getting there. It's kind of scary. But I think they implemented in Austin.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I thought there were assorted autonomous vehicles already on the road, including delivery stuff. No,
but I never seen this. The first one that I've seen that
is that right?
And to run very fast too.
I keep seeing, you know, not just Elon Musk. Of course, we would assume he would have this answer. But when people say, "Man, that's kind of scary," can you imagine? And the response that always comes back is, well, statistically, there'd be far fewer deaths due to traffic accidents using, you know, AI or autonomous driving vehicles than we have now. But how do we know?
I think eventually, if everybody drive like smart car, with obstacle avoidance, that means you cannot hit another car. The moment you get closer, it will stop your car automatically. That's what Waymo car is about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It kind of mapped the whole area, and it does a little bit more extra than Elon Musk's chips. It basically draws out the entire map, and it look at people with thermals, and it actually see an object in front of you and around you. I'm talking about it scanned the whole thing. So the only problem you worry about people hitting you, not you hitting them.
Yeah.
You say, even if you follow the law, you see the red light, you stop, you see the green light, and it goes. But guess what? The guy's going across the red light. He hit you anyway.
It's just like riding a motorcycle, Wynn. It's the same thing. I have this argument with my son all the time, and, you know, he is not approved to ride a motorcycle and never will be as long as I'm still alive. And it's not you I'm worried about, son. It's all the drivers like me that don't see motorcycles. And it's not that we're bad people and we don't like you. There's so many things going on. Sometimes we just missed it. And, you know, you talk about just things simple like your blind spot. The blind spot for a motorcycle is much larger than for a car or an 18-wheeler, right? And so for us as a car driving.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I agree with you, Wynn. If everybody, if we're all using the same set of data points, you would have to think that would be more safer than each individual human with their own decision-making capacity, differential as it may be, being the reason that a lane change happens or a failure to stop happens. And I don't know. I think there's a lot to be gained. but I'm not skilled enough. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you how to implement or roll it out.
Still, you know, still that you still, if you drive this kind of car with obstacle avoidance, your chance to get into an accident is going to be a lot lower than people don't have that obstacle, that option. Because from what I read on this car, it has LIDAR. That's the obstacle avoidance that it senses that a car is coming, that it can even try to avoid. Isn't that amazing? Like it forecasts. Like it see an object around you, your speed and thing like that. If you see the car coming at it in the background, like 50 miles an hour on 25 miles zone, it will try to move around. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's the car. That's built more than just, it's like it think like us. It think more than human. It think like million and million of seconds information coming in. It look around the radar like a sonar. I see, you think like the guy in the sonar in the submarine. You see everything around it. And you see when that object coming in, it's going to try to avoid it. That's what I'm talking about. So it's getting smarter, machine getting smarter, right? But one guy, one company tried this. You know how they use a drone and making a pictures, like Chinese, that did 5,000 of drone above, and they're making a graphic out of it. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that happening, but I don't know how they did it.
Okay, well, anyway. They got a bunch of drones that have, it had obstacle avoidance, right? And then this company just, they tested. They launched a drone which has no obstacle avoidance and going straight up. It hit all those drones. And guess what? It knocked most of them. It knocked out a bunch of drones.
Huh.
Because it doesn't have, obstacle avoidance. So that's a problem. But anyway, what I'm trying to say about the AI is a lot of people are using it and they have no idea what the risk they're having. Everybody thinks AI is great, but they have no, they take responsibility, right? They implement stuff and they don't know what they're doing. Think about this, okay? The AI, and then that AI is called a RAG, is a retrievable, augmented, generative AI. That means your personal AI. So basically, you take a ChatGPT algorithm, and then you're using your own data, okay? And ChatGPT is the engine that processes your data. How do you know they don't take that data and send it back to them? So a lot of companies, if you have a large document, company like law firm, they have document like 10, 30 years, right? And then you inject the AI so you can query the information faster. Then you can analyze, you know, what kind of case I have, how do I win the case, blah, and so forth, faster. But those are your information. Yeah. How do you regulate the information not getting out somewhere else? You see right. See my concern? That's a privacy. How about hospital using AI? That's your information. That's all your security stuff. That's your personal information they have.
Oh, yeah.
And they have no clue. I'm not saying that they probably have something better than us, but if one mistake, think about this. You look at all the liquid AT&T, T-Mobile, all the fallout right now. It's worse than we thought. Do you know that? They got a big lawsuit right now.
Well, I don't know what anybody thought if you go way back, but they very quickly are learning that, hey, you bear responsibility for what your own little piece of the AI turf, and maybe then some, you know?
Deepfake is getting smarter, and now they're using, so the other day I got a voicemail from this company say, we approve your loan. First of all, I did not apply. I say, we approve, we just need your signature here, call us back, and blah, blah, blah.
You're jumping ahead. It never says approved. We've pre-approved.
No.
This, and then they go on to.
This one, they say approved.
Oh, really? It actually said approved.
If they say
but
pre-approved.
But it didn't say subject to getting a one little piece of information.
No, because it's AI. It wanted me to click on it. Okay, so basically it's using American voice. And it said you apply already and we approve it for $61,000. All you need is your signatures and verify some employment. You're done. First of all, I did not do that, right? My point is a lot of people see that and they click on it right away. But they're using somebody's voice. For example, if you use like a multi, like a secondary password, like using your voice, if you say yes, you log in your username and password, then they call you, and then they recognize your voice. Did you say yes? this one company, like, I'm not going to name it, the financial company, okay? After I type in my username and password, and then it called me, and I talked to it, and it said, you know what, based on your voice, we recognize your voice, we're going to authenticate you. I said, wait a minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I said, wait a stop right there. I said, well, this is a computer. Say, this computer authenticate using my voice. Okay, and they say, we recognize your voice. We recognize your phone numbers. Okay, you're good. I say, no, I don't like that. Okay?
Yeah.
So now they're using that AI to overcome that. They use AI to recognize your voice. Deepfake is a problem. Think about this, Nate. Anybody can use your face, your voice, and commit a crime, right? And what's the first thing the authority do when they see that? First, they arrest you first. Now you have to prove it's not you. You see the problem I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So a lot of famous people need to be careful. They can use your voice, commit a crime, and you get hooked on it. What happened? You, nowadays, I'm worried, you know, you are guilty until proven innocent. And you get money for hire the lawyer, all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So that, you know, what AI is always going to be here. But here's it's not all doom and gloom, okay? There's this company out there that there's 10 ways that you can protect yourself with a cyber attack, right? Be skeptical. Attack simulation, the one I teach people, be skeptical. You know, a lot of them say, you know what? A lot of people, they don't like it when you do security awareness training. Here's another thing. It's a culture. Nobody wants to be trained. You know what? I don't have time for this. It's not important. Well, you know what? 5 minutes of training, okay? Security awareness. Then you're dealing with this ransomware. 1 hour training versus a ransomware attack. I'll tell you. When people get, you don't want to be in that shoe. You don't want to be in the shoe of cyber attack. I'm telling you. It's the worst thing. It can destroy your business overnight. So a lot of people like higher management, they never experience that. So they think, you know what? This is not our forte. You guys, we don't have time for this. Well, guess what? It takes only one, brother. One time you click on it.
That's right. And all that's of a sudden, you wish you'd had time.
Mm-hmm. You wish you never did. And that is a challenge. The company are buying it, the security aware, how important it is. But the user, the people who run the company don't see the value of security awareness training. And they need to. And I think until you change that culture, you're going to have a problem. Okay? And always use secondary communication, like MFA, don't use your name and password, and change your passwords frequently, right? So I'm talking to like normal population, normal people, but what about the elder? Right now, they attacking the elder more than anything else, because the elder will don't know better, they will respond. So I have a
It's almost reaching a point where just like, you know, not allowing certain elders to drive.
Now they have to work.
Command a vehicle. There really needs to be something involved with a computer.
So I'm helping this this person here, you know, and he said up to a point that his bank said you have to use another way to authenticate besides your username and password. First of all, a lot of elder can no longer, they no longer do double click. They can't do double click the mouse anymore. That's number one.
Oh, I trust me. I'm not that old. And anybody that has any type of arthritic conditions in their hands, maybe some neuropathy, just operating the keyboard, forget about a mouse, is more of a challenge.
Now
and,
they have to
you
worry
learn
about
to deal
yeah.
with it. Mm-hmm. You know, but still, you know, I have to deal with it. I don't have a choice. Many elderly, I remember my dad and my mom finally reached a point where they just said, you're going to have to call me. I'm not doing emails
anymore.
It is
happening.
It's too much effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much effort. And they're not even thinking about the cyber security.
Well,
risk. They're just thinking about life. It's too, you know, it's too hard.
And now
this world.
And now they say the bank want him to use the phone so they can call him to confirm the number. And when they called him, he had a hearing problem. He couldn't hear the number they gave it to
right.
him. That's another
right.
thing. So he said, you know yeah. what? I want to use a phone. Then he cannot use a phone either. I'm too old to use. I cannot swipe this phone, Apple. I sit there and watch him doing it. He can't do it. And this guy's a smart guy too. But this, he said, not nothing to do with my brain wind. It's my physical mm-hmm. issue. I cannot move my finger right here. So now he cannot get into his brain. Oh, my God. That's another. Now, that's just one person. Imagine you have million of people. And speaking of which, I bet you a lot of people know this. We got a few minutes. I want to talk about this.
Yeah, we just got a couple minutes left.
A total population in the U.S. is 325 million, roughly, right? Then you know how many, when you know what the number of the retirees in millions? 76 million. Okay.
Well, I can tell you there's almost 12,000 people a day turning 65 uh-huh. and going on to the Medicare.
Guess how many rolls. Number are disabled.
Think about that.
Guess how many number of disabled Americans.
I don't know.
47 million. 47 million.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
How many retired people did you say? 75 million?
76 million, roughly.
Yeah, I think that's a good number. No, it may be a little higher.
I got it from the statistic, from the government statistic.
Yeah.
And disabled.
Well, I wish you hadn't told me that.
Then disabled is 47 million.
That's crazy. That's a big market when it comes to solutions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Necessary solutions.
So you see the issue that we have every day, the healthcare and all that kind of stuff, and then you have all this AI stuff coming in. Play the role.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So I can foresee this.
Yeah.
So what can we do? Well, I tell people, you know, up to a point of too much technology, I can't even keep up with it. But one thing that I can do, be vigilant. That's one thing you can do. Always be vigilant. Be careful. Skeptical. A little skepticism can save you a lot of trouble. Okay? Always question.
Yeah.
Always question. Is this real? Is it me? Who? What? Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what I have for all today, brother.
Okay. Well, we hope you can join us again next Sunday when chat in the interim. I had a couple topics I wanted to run by you. But anyway, let me just suggest, we hope for those that have tuned in today, we hope you've enjoyed the content and you'll be able to join us on another version of the Be a Planner show again soon, right here on either, take your choice now, in the Houston market, KSEV AM 700 or KGBC AM 1540. As you know, if you've been listening on Fridays at 11 a.m., we discuss planning topics involving real estate taxation, the use of retirement funds, 401ks and IRAs to participate in real estate private partnership syndications, typically involving multifamily properties, and other concepts such as zero tax math and family planning, succession plans, etc. And then on Sundays at 7 a.m., we have more of the cyber security AI world discussion.
Well, stay safe,
thank you,
stay
for
informed,
listening.
And until next time, may your data be secure and your browsing history private.
I like it. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.